Week 3, Max Markson on the road with Bill Clinton. We just finished off talking about getting people to come to events. And as you were talking about that, I was thinking, how do you leverage the new digital world? And are you relying on your own database of people that you're connecting with to send an email out that Charlie Sheen's coming or Arnold Schwarzenegger? Is it your database that's of value now for these events, or are you capitalizing on other people's databases to sell those tickets for you and get, you know, participate in your star that you've brought out?
The magic of the moment, the new digital world, is you've got not just your own databases, but you've got social media, which goes, if you've got no following on Twitter, if you can defend yourself, you can promote anything, you put it out there. Mm-hmm. And in terms of with the media, because the media is still powerful, I always say when I'm doing my publicity work, I can't get to 25 million people in Australia or 7 billion people in the world. But let's just talk about Australia. So I can't get to 25 million people in Australia, but I can get to 2,000 members of the media in Australia. I can email them, and they will educate the 25 million people for me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a good enough publicist and I can get the stories in, you know, get it on TV, get it on news.com.au, which is the most read website, get it on the dailymailonline.com.au or .com or .co.uk. If I can get it into the magazines like Woman's Day, New Idea and Woman's Weekly, if I can get on Alan Jones's breakfast show in Sydney and Neil Mitchell's in Melbourne, that's how I do it. Or the Project on TV or Kona Fair or the Sunrise or Today Show. And that's how you do it. And it's, and I've always said this, your success isn't from one place. If you're trying to make a success of something, and let's say it's a new product or a new book or it's just your life or your business, then no one thing's going to do it. But it's all the different things. So you tweet about it, you put an Instagram post, you get a story in the Telegraph in Sydney, you get a story in the Herald Sun, you get a story online on news.com.au, you get a story on TV, on radio. It's all these different things mount up. The power of a group activity, the power of it all, it leads to success. And then, yeah, sure, you send it out to 20, 30,000 on your database. But if you're trying to sell tickets to something, well, go and sign up with Ticketek or Ticketmaster. They've got an 800,000 or million database they can reach out to, people who buy tickets. If you're trying to sell a book, talk to Booktopia, and they'll send it to their, you know, got 6 million books in the library there that they're selling, but they've got a database they'll send out to their books, and they'll promote it to their booksellers. Or when you go online, you've bought that book, you might like this book, or this book. It's a sales process, and it's even more so with data management and things like that. It's fantastic. So the new digital world, embrace it, use it. And I put everything I do on social media. Now, does it get to everybody? No, but it starts. And if it goes to one member of the media, I remember I did a story in the Herald Sun a few months ago, and it was there's when Harry and Meghan got married, there was that Bishop Curry who, the power of love! And he did this great, you know, 14 minutes of the, you know, worldwide coverage. Yeah. And I put a little story in the Saturday edition of the Herald Sun that doesn't normally get picked up by even Google AdWords. Google don't search for it. But it was just saying, I'd reached out to him, I want to bring him to Australia for a tour. Well, next thing, news.com.au pick it up. Then Mail Online pick it up. Like, people's like, and I'm getting called to come on TV and talk about it. So one little story, you know, it's like a rolling stone gathering moss. Like, you just that's the way it is.
These are really great. I mean, I get to talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, and I get to speak at events, and they come up to me and they talk. They want ideas. These are great ideas. These are insights into how you can spruik and promote your own business. It's really great to hear it, Max, because not most people aren't coming from the position of I know how to get onto the broadcast to the world, and it's just so great to be able to go, all right, okay, that's some of the ways that you do that. So has there been any people that, you know, didn't make this book or didn't make may not make the next book, but they're just absolutely gems that are special to you, that you've been able to manage or bring out over the years?
I can tell you the story about the nicest man I've ever known.
Yeah, go on. That's a good one.
The nicest man I've ever known There's a guy called Bobby Moore. Bobby Moore in England is an icon. He's dead now.
Yeah.
But he was the captain of England when they won the 1966 World Cup.
Yeah.
Captain of West Ham United. He was absolute superstar. I mean, I'm talking superstar. Now, on a scale of a Ronaldo is today. So Bobby Moore in 1966 was the captain of England when they won the World Cup. I brought him out in 1988 for variety and didn't want a fee. And he came out and when he arrived, I gave him $2,000 in cash. I said, look, over the next 2 weeks, you know, you've got the hotel and we'll have cars for you. And we're doing the Ricky May Golf Classic. And I said, look, I won't be there all the time with you, so you might have to put your hand in your pocket. So here's $2,000 in cash, so you've got money for this 2 weeks. The end of the two, and he did everything we wanted of him, media, whatever we wanted. He played golf, obviously, for the Golf Classic, the charity. And at the end of the 2 weeks, he said, I just want to have a chat with you. I said, sure. And he was a lovely man, everything he did. He came up to me and he said, I didn't use the whole $2,000. I wanted to give you $500, you know, this is $500, which, you know... But he was the most beautiful man I'd ever met.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah. I mean, and he was at that level at that time. But we won't rub it in that that's the last time England have won the World Cup.
Well, it is the last time they won the World Cup. So he unfortunately has died, but there's a statue to him outside West Ham.
Yeah.
And Graham Gooch is a West Ham fan who I've worked with as well. He's a nice guy, good guy.
My brother is a West Ham fan, one of the founders of Booktopia. So any other thing, any other insights or things, you know, about the book or about, you know, where the world is at, that you see things happening that are, you feel from your perspective, is it going mad? Is the world going mad with too much digital?
Not at all. I think we're blessed with the life we have. We're blessed in Australia. I think we live in the most wonderful country of the world, you know. And I did a tweet recently on the Wentworth election was held when Kerrin Phelps won, and it was when Turnbull had resigned from that seat. And I went down to vote in my local church or wherever it was, and I tweeted afterwards, I've just voted, what a great country we live in. You know, there was no riots, there's no police, there's nobody trying to tell you can't vote, you could vote or whatever. I said, we are so lucky to be living in this country, and we're blessed and privileged. And like, I got all this feedback from it, people retweeting it and saying how good it was. And it's true. We just are so lucky in this country with what we've got. And I think that, and I've been, topographically, I used to think we're the best country, best city in the world in Sydney and a great country. Rio de Janeiro, I went to with Ronnie Biggs. For those who don't know, Ronnie Biggs was the great train robber who escaped, came to Australia, then finished up in Rio. Died, unfortunately, a few years ago. But I went there for Advanced Hair Studio. They decided they'd sign him up. And so I went there and we had a week with Ronnie Biggs. And he was, he gave his business card out, had a thumbprint on it. And on the back, it gave his address and a map how to get there because the police couldn't extradite him from there, but you could find him if you wanted him. And Rio, topographically, is the most beautiful city in the world. It's got the rainforest in the middle of the city. From the Cocovida, you can look down and see the planes landing at the airport. It's just beautiful. Unfortunately, there's all these slums and crime in the middle of the city, which does distract from it. But the beaches, Copacabana Beach, is like 5 miles long. Bondi's a great beach, but this is a spectacular beach. It's so big, and there's people playing soccer on the beach and everything. So that's, you know, my insights on the world are just my thoughts and my love and for Australia, really. I love this country.
I feel the same. I mean, I get to travel around the world and have traveled around the world, and I think that, and it's a travesty that some people don't wake up in the morning and see the opportunity and see the fortune that we have, but they can only focus on the negative or what they don't have or what's not working. One of the interesting things for me. I quite often listen to Parliament. I know a lot of people don't do that, but at 6:30 on the AM dial, and they broadcast Parliament. My favourite day of the year is the last day of Parliament.
Why?
Because each party to their counterparts will wish their opponents all the very best for Christmas. Hope you have a great holiday. Take care. Wish you well with the family. Like. What, you know, like Why in politics and parliament today do we have to play it out like it's playing a state of origin? At the end of the game, they all give each other hugs and shake and have a chat on the field about the game, because it's a game. Why the hell in politics are we playing it like it's a game rather than getting the bloody job done? There's a little bit of madness out there. There's a little bit of craziness. And with social media, it really does amplify it faster, quicker. Modus operandi, when did you work out that the internet, because I've been involved in the internet since 96,
yes.
So in my previous company, so I've been there early on. I was in IT recruitment, and when I told people I was an internet recruitment agency, the first question I got asked was,
what?
What's the internet? I had to explain the internet, that's how long. When did you realize that the internet was going to, in your world, was going to really change things over?
Look, I used it a lot in the late 90s. I was, online and doing stuff. But you talk about Parliament. I'm friends with Jean-Claude Van Damme. And I talked at the end of 2006, I took Jean-Claude Van Damme to Canberra, because he loves Canberra. He wanted to go and meet some of the politicians about animals and things like this, and bring them into the country because he thinks Australia is the best place for animals facing extinction. And we had a day of meetings scheduled, and I got him in there the day before, and we stayed at the Canberra Zoo, where you can actually sleep overnight with the animals, basically. And that day we took an apartment house, and it was like the end of the year, right? And with the first meeting was with Josh Frydenberg, who was the environment minister at the time, and there's like 12 people there in the meeting, and all the media had come to see Jean-Claude Van Damme meet Josh Frydenberg. They posed with, posing with the hands out like doing karate and stuff. And during the meeting, which was a private meeting, close to the end of the meeting, I said, look, Jean-Claude Van Damme can actually, he's quite fit in terms of he's very supple, he's 55 or whatever it was at the time, and he can actually flick his head, his leg over your head. And so we both stood up, and there's Van Damme opposite Josh Frydenberg, and he does a head kick all the way over Josh Frydenberg's head. So, and we took a picture of it for Facebook and stuff like that. Then I went from there with Jean-Claude Van Damme to meet with Barnaby Joyce, who was Deputy Prime Minister, to talk with him. And then there was all these national ministers and people there, so we had pictures with all of them. Then we went and saw Sam Dastyari, and half the Labour Party came in, and we did photos with them. Then we went back to have lunch, because we would come back later on to see Susan Ley, the then Sports Minister, and Pauline Hanson. And we get back, and the phone rings, and it's Josh Frydenberg saying, hi, it's Josh here. And I said, Josh who? I said, Josh Frydenberg. And he went, oh, sorry, my apologies, I didn't know. Yeah. He said, can you come and do that head kick, that kick over the head again for the media? I said, sure. So we went back in at 4 o'clock to see Susan Ley, and before that we caught up with Josh, and all the TV crews were there, and we did the kick for them. Then we saw Susan Ley, and then we did Pauline Hanson with her senators, and Michaela Cash was doing a Facebook Live thing. So we went and had Jean-Claude Van Damme chatting with them. And the next thing is the bells ring. So Jean-Claude, they all had to go. So Jean-Claude Van Damme and me finished off doing Pauline Hanson's One Nation Facebook Live broadcast and chatting away. And just he loved Canberra. And the next morning we flew to Broken Hill, where we were doing some stuff there. And then we flew back to Sydney. And then he came back again only like a few months ago, because he wants to make two movies in Canberra. And again, he arrived one morning, rings me up, and I didn't realise he was in Sydney. I went and saw him, and he was looking at buying property, and he wants to make a couple of movies there. So he went then off by himself, drove off to Canberra. And I said, you've got to come back on Friday, where there's a luncheon where you'll meet with Julie Bishop and Malcolm Turnbull and all these ministers. We're having a fundraising lunch, so I bought tickets for us all to go to that. And he'd spent the whole lunch with Julie Bishop. And met with Turnbull and Lucy afterwards and had pictures with them. And then he was flying off. And he's keen on coming back again to Canberra. He wants to come, he says, soon to make these two movies in Canberra. And he's a passionate person, not just for the politicians. He wants to meet the politicians as well. And I think he sometimes FaceTimes with Julie Bishop, apparently, Julie tells me. So Canberra's a wonderful place, and they mean well. They're giving, I think we mistake our politicians. They're in it for the right cause. They're in it to give back. They're in it to give public service. And I recall the first day I met President Clinton on the 8th of September 2001, we were going from Sydney up the Parramatta River to go and visit the Children's Hospital. And me and my naive little self said, what are you going to do with your life? I said to him, he's only been out of office 7 or 8 months. He said, look, I want to do some more events like this so I can get myself settled financially. I mean, he had $8 million worth of debts of legal fees. And then once I'm settled, and so that God forbid anything happens to me, Hillary and Chelsea are okay and I've got homes paid off and all that, then I want to give back. I want to, so I've done all my life. I gave back as the Attorney General in Arkansas, then as the Governor of Arkansas for 3 or 4 terms, and then as President. I want to give back. And he then subsequently set up his foundation, and he's got 1,000 staff, I think, around the world, trying to solve the problem with AIDS in Africa, and trying to save the environment, and doing things that are doing good for the world. And I think giving back is something that we can all do. And when I'm doing my fundraising events and I reach out to companies saying, give us, can you give us a donation, or can you give us items of goods from your warehouse or your goods and products and services? And often people will give and they'll say, thanks for asking us, because we want to donate, we want to support. I think the more we can give back in life, the better our lives will be and the better we'll help other people.
Yeah, look, Booktopia's had a philanthropic program for over 10 years. And that we decided in the beginning, because our customers were giving us their money for us to do a good job and to grow our business, we decided to focus on literacy-based projects. So we sponsor the Kathy Freeman Foundation with their Indigenous Literacy Program. We sponsor writers' festivals, readers' conferences, the Book Industry Awards, the Book Design Awards. We've just started this year with the Ned Kelly Awards, which is crime and true crime. The Romance Readers Conferences, the Jewish Writers Festival. We also, because of our Jewish background, we sponsor the Jewish Writers Festival. But recently we reached out to an Islamic community just down in the next suburb in Auburn and asked them whether they'd like to have an Islamic Writers Festival. And through some discussions, they've agreed for us to be the founding sponsor.
Fantastic.
And now we've got... Actually, the director of the Sydney Jewish Writers Festival assisting the Islamic team to be able to, what have they learned in running their festival that they can help them. So I agree. I think if Arnold says it as well in his five
tips for success.
Key tips for success is about giving back. We agree. One heart. It gives you a sense of, an extra sense of purpose.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And I think that's really important. I think it's a great note to end on. And Max, thanks for coming in and sharing everything that you have today about your life and your book. And please, if you're interested in these amazing, iconic people, get an insight into the world that Max lives in and how they operate and how the tours work. Because it's an important part of the world that we live in. Thank you, Max.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.